Raiders of El Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
As we were sleeping here overnight, many of us felt this slight rumble.
They know it's wrong, and it's not just wrong, it's an outrage. It is a big deal.
I was actually in a nightclub in Los Angeles.
Take a look at them today. Dressed to the T. These beautiful people.
Almost as big as me.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We thank Dr. Ron Tarner for joining us in our first hour talking about how Avatar, that's what you ought to be looking at, not Scott Brown getting elected in Massachusetts. Avatar, $1 billion worldwide, the progressive political agenda of Avatar. All right, in any event, coming up, Jay Santos, who's with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and he'll be talking about continued efforts at Haitian relief. There was an aftershock today in Haiti, and it was a fright. If you've lived through earthquakes, and I have because I grew up out here on the West Coast, we broadcast our show. We're not in Hollywood. We're not in Los Angeles. We're just out on the beach. I'm as far away from a fault line as I can get here. But if you've been through an earthquake and you know what an aftershock is, it can definitely wake you up because you thought you went through the earthquake and here comes another one and you're like, wait just a second. Sometimes they're stronger than the original. So the people down there had to go through that and it was rough. So we're going to talk about that with Jay Santos this hour. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. You can visit us at twitter.com/PhilHendryShow. That's our Twitter page that's operated by our staff, Rance and Rodriguez and Bud and Robert. So those guys are over there at twitter.com/PhilHendryShow. Go to Facebook, facebook.com/PhilHendry. And, of course, our website is philhendryshow.com, where you can watch a live streaming video of our show every night. You can listen to live streaming audio of our show every night. And you can just sort of, bask and bathe in the wonderment that am it. All right. So what we have here now is one more day in this terrible event, this earthquake in Haiti. And joining us on our newsmaker line right now is Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police. And I don't know whether or not, Jay, you are in Haiti at the present time or whether you are here still in Southern California.
Well, Phil, what we're doing right now is we're monitoring the situation in Haiti. And we are as close to, we get our boots on the ground. Our boots are basically on the ground right now in Haiti. But we're still in Southern California. What I mean by that is we're monitoring. We have monitoring two or three different internet radio stations out of Haiti. One of them is actually out of Jamaica. I don't think there are any real radio stations that are operating right now in Haiti, but there is one in Jamaica. That's the closest one we're able to find. So our boots are on the ground.
What do you mean your boots are on the ground? You're not in Haiti.
No, we're not in Haiti, but we're as close as we can get. Now, we're about as close as any. One of the gentlemen made a comment, and I didn't think it was all that funny. In fact, I probably shouldn't quote it, but this is a man who's notoriously a big Obama supporter, and I was shocked to hear him say, "We're as close as any white man to Haiti tonight." And
who was that?
Well, he's not a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. One of the neighbors that came in and wanted to see, came down to the basement to take a look at what we're doing. We do have the internet set up down here. I've got a ship-to-shore radio. So we are monitoring as well as we can.
Well, what is it that you're seeing right now in Haiti? Now, I was watching some of the live reports from there. The people were frightened by the aftershock. The other thing that I heard that was just appalling to me was that there are plenty of supplies, but they're not getting to the hospitals. They're not getting to the people. They're sitting out at the airport. Did you hear anything about that?
Well, I did hear something about that. I have to tell you, Phil, the individual I heard it from was this gentleman. I don't know if you've seen him on a television named Anderson Cooper. He's on CNN.
I didn't hear it from him. I heard it. I think I heard it on another one of the other shows.
Well, this gentleman Cooper is talking about, and he was getting very indignant. He had the other gentleman, the Indian fellow, I believe, the doctor, and they were getting very indignant over the fact that there were supplies at the airport. And why didn't the supplies get out to the hospital and all the other different places? And, of course, the thought came to my mind, as it did to Sub-Commander Olson, Sub-Commander Gertner. We all said at the same time, well, if you're that concerned, why don't you get into the CNN van and drive out to the airport, pick up some supply, and bring on back, see? But Anderson Cooper and I remember Sub-Commander Gertner said the same thing. Well, Anderson Cooper didn't do that. He just stood there and complained about it. What we're trying to do is get answers. And I think, Phil, that the most important answer that we can give people right now is yes, there is a supply problem. Is it because the supplies are at the airport? Or is it because we've got people who are reluctant to bring the supplies to the survivors in Haiti for other extra political reasons? I would like to make a comment at this time that I think people should consider. In 2005, you probably remember a little thing, it's in all the newspapers called Katrina.
Of course.
All right. People suffered at Katrina. And right now, those people who suffered in Katrina are looking at how good we're treating Haitians. And I'm wondering, my question is this, I'm wondering, are they going to be all that comfortable with seeing how good we're getting supplies down to Haitians, and yet we couldn't get supplies down to the people that are citizens of our country in the city of New Orleans? That's number one.
Well, what are you saying? Are you saying to me that the people of New Orleans who suffered through Katrina don't want to see the people of Haiti relieved in any way?
I'm simply saying that no member of the Obama administration is taking consideration that while we are sending supplies down to Haiti, we've got people down in New Orleans who are seeing this and are basically just saying, okay, thanks a lot. You know, see all the everything they get, and we can get nothing. So thank you very much. That's something to consider. The other thing to consider, Phil, I don't care about America. You know, I'm willing to give. I'll give the shirt off my back to anybody who wants it. I'll give the, you know, my joke with my wife, and she doesn't think it's funny. I'll say, I'll take my pants off to anybody who wants those. Because why would you say I'll give the shirt off my back? I'll take my pants off, too, and my underwear off, too. You know, anybody that needs it, I'm there. As long as, and I think I speak for Americans, as long as they speak English. You go down to Haiti right now, and I don't think anybody down there speaks English. And I'm wondering how...
They don't, Jay, I got to interrupt you, man. They don't speak English in Haiti. They speak French.
I understand that. No, you're not telling me anything I don't know, Phil.
Well, what do you mean, as long as they speak English? It's a French-speaking nation. It was at one time a French colony, and it was, you know, eventually became a liberated country. But what does English-speaking have to do with it?
Well, you mentioned it. You said the French. The French are notoriously chauvinistic. These are people that want their language spoken and nothing else. And yet we're going down there with the supply boats. We've got ships laden with all kinds of foods and everything. So I'm worried that we're being taken advantage of. We're taking all this food and everything down there. Okay? Okay, Phil?
Yeah, yes.
All right, and what about the people at Katrina?
Katrina was 2005.
But they're watching our reaction to people who live on an island that's not even part of America, and they're going, okay, thanks a lot. Why are you doing that, and we get nothing? That's number one. Number two, I think this is an opportunity for us to say, as long as we're bringing you all of these things that we're trying to help you out, because we understand this is a bad thing, the least you could do is speak English.
Well, it's not going to happen.
Why can't an effort be made?
It's not going to happen because these people are poor, they are destitute, they've been rocked out of their homes by this earthquake, they have physical problems, injuries, problems with food, problems with water. You want them to learn English too?
Phil, we're only saying, no, that's not learning English. Everybody speaks English. It's whether or not they know how to, they want to use it.
Well, then what do you mean everybody speaks English?
Everyone speaks English, they refuse to. And I'm just saying, I think most Americans would agree with that.
Well, I don't think most Americans would agree with that at all. Look, at the first thing you said, I agree with. If there's stuff at the airport, then get out to the airport and get it to the people. Why isn't it getting there? I have no idea.
The reason why it's not getting there is people are reluctant to bring it down to the people of Haiti because they don't want to be seen as favoring Haiti when the people of Katrina got nothing.
Well, that's asinine, too.
Why?
Because if you've got all that stuff at the airport, and you suddenly are saying, I don't think I'll take it to the people, because that'll look really bad to the people who are suffering through Katrina, so I'll just let it sit and rot at the airport, that's asinine.
I'm not saying it makes sense, but I'm saying that you can understand emotion behind it.
No, you can't. I can't understand any of the emotion behind it. Hold on. Unbelievable, man. You're going to let the stuff sit and rot at the airport. Oh, you know, I better not take it to the people in Haiti because, you know what? It just occurred to me. It's going to piss off everybody who suffered through Katrina and didn't get anything. And then this comment about how I'm happy to help the people of Haiti if they just speak English.
No.
No, not well. All right, we're going to get back with Jay Santos. I got to calm down because I'm not at all... I don't agree with his point of view. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on Haitian relief and the fact that we shouldn't be so falling all over ourselves getting supplies to the people of Haiti when we basically stuck it to everybody in Katrina, and if only they'd speak English. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. It's the Phil Henry Show.
From the coordinating center in the South Bay in California, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, which is a volunteer police agency. He is, you're like a volunteer group of police assistants, right?
No, we're not, you know, that's, I think you got that wrong, Phil. We're not volunteer police assistants. I mean, we all could have been police officers had we chosen to, go through the politics of, being a police officer, but it was nothing I ever really wanted to do because I wasn't interested in the politics of it, you know. I was more interested in just helping save lives. So we do have the ability to make arrests if we need to. But right now we're talking about Katrina, or rather about Haiti, and we're not down in Haiti right now.
Well, you couldn't make arrests in Haiti, could you?
Well, we could, technically, given the fact that there's no civil authority down there and that America is really the lifeline that Haiti has. At some point, American authorities, of course, would have to go in and begin to round up suspects and incarcerate anyone who's creating a disturbance and... bothering the people who are trying to, eat and get some sleep. But really, what we're most concerned with right now is the fact that supplies that are at the airport are going to be getting to the Haitian survivors while the Katrina people are sitting, staring at that.
Yeah, you said that already, okay? And that's the part that I don't get. You're saying that the Katrina survivors are going to be upset.
Well, the Katrina survivors, like, Phil, I heard your comment before the break where you were saying, boy, I really don't get it. I don't understand why you're so wound up in this. I mean, what I'm trying to do is
Why am I wound up in it? I mean, there's a lot of people. They said, I heard today, that 20,000 a day.
No, that's no. It's not 20,000. That's impossible for 20,000 people a day to die. That's impossible.
Well, I heard it on CNN.
I don't care where you heard it. That's impossible.
Why is that impossible?
It just, to me, that is totally impossible. How do you mean 20,000 people a day are dying? From what? From being crushed, getting crushed on an earthquake? Do they get crushed? The earthquake already happened. There's not more people getting crushed.
What do you mean getting crushed? We're talking about people that are buried in the rubble, and that people who are maybe still underneath the rubble, who are starving to death, dying of dehydration, or of their injuries.
Well, I don't think it's 20,000 a day. I mean, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
All right, well, whatever the number is, the reason why I'm getting wound up, as you say, is because there's a lot of people that are hurting, and they've got supplies, and the supplies are not getting to those people.
But you have to understand that you are on the side of this that the minority of people are on. Most people, I got to tell you, and I hate to say this, but Citizens Auxiliary Police, I mean, we are here to inform and to protect American people. Most people are not that invested in what's going on in Haiti. It's sad, it's bad, it's really sad, and it's bad, and they are sad about it. But if 20,000 or 30,000 they are dying, that's just the way it's going to have to be. The Katrina hurricane, that was the most important one, and we let those people down. Now we're going to go down there with Pop-Tarts and, cans of stewed tomatoes, all this nonsense, and say to the Haitians, here, have that.
Are you telling me, so in other words, what you're telling me is that if we go down to whatever, down to Haiti, and we give cans of stewed tomato, whatever, and we're giving people all of this stuff, that the Katrina survivors are pissed off?
I'm saying it's a slap to their face, yeah. And it's just not that important to the American people to save Haitians after the disgrace of what was done over there in Katrina. Americans could care less if the supplies ever get used. All we care about are, you know, making sure that the there's the news. And beyond that, we'd rather take care of Americans like the ones suffered up in Katrina.
Well, then why don't we take all of the stuff that we sent to Haiti and give it to the people of Katrina?
Because Katrina's all over it. Okay?
Well, no, it isn't. There's people down there that still need help.
All right, well, we can do that, but it's not as much. The point that I'm trying to make here is you and members of the media overdoing it on this Haitian coverage thing, it's hurting, I think, the larger picture.
Well, Jay, you know, this is a very interesting conversation here. And our number, by the way, 877-876-PHIL, if you want to weigh in with Jay Santos and myself, Jay with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You're telling me, Jay, essentially the following, that the Haitian disaster, while it's serious, we don't want to get too over involved in it, because let's face it, Katrina was more serious.
Well, Katrina was happened to Americans, and we you know, let's face it, we did the dog. You know what I mean? We did the pooch.
So we dropped the ball.
We dropped the ball, right? And all of a sudden, we're enthusiastically running down to Haiti, which is not America, and we're getting all kinds of Pop-Tarts. And this is,
what, I don't know what you're with the Pop-Tart thing.
You know what I'm talking about. I mean, we're getting down there to the food. Getting down and getting, you know, the prepackaged Pop-Tarts and all of that. I'm saying to you, bad move. And
well, I haven't heard anybody from New Orleans or anybody else, for that matter, talking about that. I haven't heard anybody from the anybody anywhere in the United States saying that anybody who survived Katrina was pissed off. Because everybody in Haiti is getting all the good stuff. Now, what about this stuff speaking English?
Well, that's the other thing. If we're going to go down there, we're going to give these people these supplies. What I'm asking for is somebody somewhere to speak English. I understand that they speak French, and I got no problem with that. But I want anyone who's receiving the supplies, anybody who's interceding on behalf of the people, that's all the Citizens Auxiliary Police, if there's someone anywhere down there who speaks English. This is the one time where Americans can demand that somebody speak English, and they'll actually do it, because if they don't, they're not going to get their, you know, Pop-Tart, or you don't mean to say Pop-Tart, but, you know.
No, I know. Their canister. Well, that's not going to happen either. So basically what you've given me here is an unbelievable laundry list of ridiculous crap. You know,
What is ridiculous about the survivors of Katrina getting bent out of shape because they're looking at Haitians getting all the good stuff?
I don't know, because I haven't heard anybody from Katrina, any survivor from Katrina, saying that they're bent out of shape because Haitians are getting all the good stuff. I haven't heard any of that. I haven't heard anybody begrudging the people of Haiti any of the charity or any of the magnificence of the American people. I have heard you bring it up, and you're the only one.
I am telling you that as an American, it bothers me to see big boxes of, okay, you know.
What, Pop-Tarts?
Well, okay, you don't want me to say that. But
well, that's what you've been saying, big boxes of Pop-Tarts and everything else.
Yeah, sitting on a runway in Haiti when everybody down in Katrina, you know, didn't have a pot to throw it, they didn't have a pot to pee in, let alone toss the pee out. And that was the point I was making last week, Bill Dundy, when I was in that debate.
Well, all right, I don't necessarily agree with the things that you're saying. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You'd have to get me some figures, Bud, on number one, you know, how many people are affected by the earthquake in Haiti as opposed to the numbers of people who were affected by the flood and the hurricane in New Orleans.
All right, let me write that down.
Okay, and if we're talking about, and I don't believe the number either, but 20,000 people a day dying, which seems a little extreme, it's a much, much bigger emergency. And then the other thing I need to find out, is there anybody in New Orleans who survived Katrina that's pissed off seeing all of this good stuff go down to Haiti and they didn't have a pot to throw it out of?
Right.
Because to me, that's just, as they say, a red herring. in the news business. All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number if you want to talk to Jay Sanos. And also visit us online at philhenryshow.com. We have live streaming video of the show, live streaming audio of the show right now. You can download our show each and every day after the show. If you missed it, you can go to our website and download the radio show in its entirety and listen to it on your iPod, and you also have a five-day video archive and literally years of archives of The Phil Henry Show. Back with Jay Sanos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police in a moment of the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, whether or not the people of Katrina got enough good stuff, we're still going to be sending stuff down to Haiti. That's, you know.
Yeah, well, it's on a runway.
Well, if it's on the runway, then maybe what Jay said is right. Maybe, what's his face, Anderson Cooper can get in the CNN van, drive down and pick it up if it's sitting on the runway. Charlie Sheen has asked a judge to change the court order so he can care for his wife, Brooke Mueller, in ICU. Charlie Sheen is a man who must be extremely troubled, and I have no interest in his life, and I'm sure you don't either, except every now and again his name appears in the news, and it is relevant because he's either beating somebody up or he's getting his ass kicked or something's wrong with something someplace in his world. Now, he's a talented guy. His father is a great actor. He comes from a theatrical family, but in this most recent episode, you know, he allegedly pulled a knife on his wife. There was a 911 call. It was about as dramatic as it could get. And you would think that she wouldn't want to have a thing to do with this nut. Now he's asked if he can get this court order that basically bars him from being around his wife lifted so he can take care of her while she's in intensive care after wisdom tooth surgery and being diagnosed with pneumonia in both lungs. I just got over that. Believe me, you don't want him around, honey. Sheen didn't wait for a judge to rule on the request before rushing to Sherman Oaks Hospital, where Mueller was admitted late Tuesday with a 105-degree fever after oral surgery. Anyway, this is the 911 call after the alleged domestic disturbance incident between Brooke Mueller and her husband, actor Charlie Sheen, on Christmas morning.
You have a domestic disturbance? Okay. Tell me exactly what happened.
No, my husband had me with a knife, and I was scared for my life, and he threatened me.
Okay, are you guys separated right now?
Yeah, right now. We have people that are separating us, but I have to file the report.
Are there other people there? Does he still have the knife?
Yeah, he still does, but there's other people here.
Who are the other people that are there?
I have people here. My family is here, but right now, if I don't file this, I need to file it right
now. Okay, where is he with the knife?
He's in the other room.
Okay, is someone in the room with him?
Somebody else, yes.
Who is he with?
He's with somebody packing to leave. But if I don't file the report, he had no...
Okay, I understand, and I'm sending officers to help you. I just need some information. Does he have any other weapons?
No.
Okay, which room is he in? When the officers enter the house, which room will he be in?
In the bathroom.
In which room are you in?
In the kitchen. I thought I was going to die for 1 hour.
Okay, what's your name?
Brooke.
And what's your husband's name?
It's Charlie Sheen.
So there you go. That's the marvelousness that is the Sheen home. Now, according to Sheen's manager, Mark Berg, he loves his wife very much, was extremely concerned about her. She's the person he loves. She doesn't want you around. She had a cop come out and take your stupid ass away. I don't know whether it's true or not, but you want to know something? This is what comes with the territory. Every 911 call that comes into any sheriff's department anywhere in the country, and it has some celebrity's name on it, it's going to get released to the public. My advice, stay as clean as you possibly can when it comes to those things, and we won't have to have the sordid and dirty details of your life paraded in front of us. This guy's got a knife. So now he wants to be with his old lady. Now, here's the thing about that. I made a comment the other day, I think it was on Facebook. I said, you know, it's really amazing how guys treat women when, and I shouldn't perhaps say this, but how many times have you ever had your wife or your girlfriend come back to the house and say, boy, this guy flipped me off, this guy, this guy, this guy. You know how men treat women when it's just a man, one-on-one situation, there's not another man around? You understand what I'm saying? Guys will flip off women, call them the C word, call them the B word, when there isn't a husband or a boyfriend, another guy around. It just happens to be like that. Even the guy that thinks he's the most baddest ass in the world isn't going to open his mouth that way to a woman if she's standing there with a man. It ain't going to happen. Now, this is not exactly like that, but in some ways it's similar. Here's a guy who has a knife to a woman one minute, and the next minute he, oh, well, I love my wife, I want to be with her. Now, you know, it, like I said, it probably doesn't make much difference to you or to me, but if this woman winds up dead, somebody's going to ask the question, how come this guy was able to get around her? How come he was able to access, you know, this hospital room? Why was he even near her? And the answer to the question is, well, you know, I mean, he went a little goofy, but I think this cat, first of all, Charlie, they ought to run you through some kind of a I'm telling you right now, there's something going through your blood that's still, I don't, it must be some new chemicals. There's got to be a drug involved. Or maybe it's just, you know, your marvelous personality. That's number one. Number two, I just don't think you should be around any kind of plastic knives, nothing. No kitchen utensils at all, not even picnic stuff. And number three, you know what? Your show blows, okay? You are so lucky to be working. And number four, I absolutely loved you in Platoon, and so that's where that's at, you know?
But what do you mean about a guy talking bad to a lady?
What?
What do you mean about that?
Yeah. I'm telling you that how many times have you ever had your girlfriend come back and say, boy, I was at the store, and this guy said to me, he called me the B word, he butted in line.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, my lady come home, said a guy butted in line in front of her.
Yeah, and what happened?
She said, she told a guy, how come you butted in line? He said, I want you to shut up. And he like being rude to her.
Yeah, now that's what I'm talking about. No guy is going to do that to a woman if she's standing there with her man. It ain't going to happen. It's something, there's a certain mentality, a certain kind of man who confronts and verbally abuses individual women when they're by themselves. And there's no other man around. And I mean, they use the word, they use the bitch word, they use the C word. They walk up and verbally and physically confront women. They will flip them off. I mean, it's not violent per se, but it's a very violent encounter, you know. And it's a sort of a, I don't know, it's accosting somebody. And as I said, it never, ever, ever, ever happens if she's standing there with a boyfriend or a husband, no matter how much of a psycho the other guy is.
Yeah, how come? Why?
Why? Because it's just, it's like a big stop sign. If a woman's standing there with a man, it's like a big stop sign. Doesn't make any difference. I know. Yeah, sure. The guy, you know, he probably thinks I could kick his ass. Fine. But he ain't going to do it. She's not going to do it. So it always shocked me when my wife would come back. She's not going to understand. You're not going to believe what happened. I said, what? I was just driving along. This guy just drove right up next to me and flipped me off. Now, no man flips off another man without understanding very clearly that with some, that's almost like an invitation to a mortal duel. I mean, as crazy as it sounds, it's understood between men. If you give a guy the middle finger, that is an entree to something physical. Now, because of that, you're not really going to see guys flipping each other off all that much. But guys flipping women off, they do that if there's no other guy around.
Yeah, when she came back, she said a guy butted in.
What, some guy in the store?
Yeah, she said the guy just stood there. When she said, how come you butt in? He said, you know, just waved her off and like that.
Well, it wouldn't have happened if you were there, right?
I don't know. Maybe he would have.
Well, what would you do?
Well, it depends on the circumstance.
What do you mean it depends on the circuit? What if the guy butted in line?
Well, maybe he had a reason.
Oh, will you get out of here?
You're out of your mind. He's talking about something else.
I know that.
Exactly. The fact of the matter is that that's just the way some guys operate. So, now, you know, after I talked about it, some guys who try to be funny about it, most men value bonding with other men more than they value the opinion of women. So that if you said to a guy, you know, isn't it interesting how some guys will treat women really bad if they're by themselves? and call him a bitch. And a lot of guys will say, yeah, well, if it was my wife, she probably deserved it. You know, because that's that moment of male bonding. Says, I'm going to get, you know, these guys are going to understand me if I say that. Really, how do you feel about that?
Well, you know, she probably did.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number here. Coming back, we've got the Haitian telethon. Let me tell you about this Haitian relief thing, and I'll give it to you as clearly as I possibly can. When we get back, a Haiti telethon seeking a global audience. I'm telling you, these telethons and these fundraisers and these appeals for money, we got to start to slow down a little bit and understand something that nobody's talking about. Meanwhile, more on the so-called revolutionary election of Scott Brown, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, and welcome back to your world-famous Phil Hendry Show midweek. And again, go to our website, philhendryshow.com, for the download of our show, as well as our video archive, five-day video archive. And we are streaming live on the video right now. All right, Haiti telethon seeks largest global audience. Now, a benefit for Haiti that will feature dozens of stars in a collaboration by U2 singer Bono and rapper Jay-Z will be the most widely distributed telethon to reach viewers across the globe, according to MTV. George Clooney, the actor who organized the event and who hopes to get a Nobel Peace Prize, will host the two-hour Hope for Haiti Now, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Friday to raise money for the earthquake-ravaged Caribbean country. Showcasing performances from Los Angeles, New York, and London, the telethon will be broadcast through MTV. Now, does that, see, and people will say, well, you don't care. Yes, I care. What I don't care about is donating my money to something, and I don't know where it's going. And I believe that that's a fair question to ask. Now, I don't know anything about Live Aid. I don't know anything about George Clooney. I don't know anything about any of this crap. And I got tired enough during the 80s. See, I lived through the 80s. I lived through that whole USA for Africa and Live Aid, all that jazz. And I heard all the news about how the food was down there and it couldn't get to the people because there were payoffs and there was graft and there was this, there was that, and there was something else. The problem is not getting people to donate money. That's not the problem. The problem wasn't getting people to donate money. Remember 9/11? Remember when everybody gave that money to the Red Cross? Then when we found out from the Red Cross, well, you know, we took a little bit of it and we gave it to the 9/11 people, but the rest of it we put into our general fund. That's not why we gave you the money. But you don't understand how the Red Cross does things. Well, you don't understand how we donate. You don't understand what we're thinking. When you say to us, 9/11 relief, that's where the money, that's what I want my money to go to. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, you see, a percentage of what we do. What do you mean a percentage, and what's the rest of it? Well, then the rest goes into our general fund for other stuff. Now, that person, that was the president of the Red Cross at the time. I don't even remember her name, and I don't care. But she was absolutely stunned by the fact that people were saying, do you get it when we say that we want our money to go to 9/11 relief and we don't care about your general fund? She looked like she'd landed on another planet. Like, this wasn't her. This was not the Earth she knew. Well, what do you mean? We don't know anything about charity and how it works. Well, all we think is if you say to us, donate to help a hungry kid, well, that's what we figure it's going to go to, see? So we'll go, okay, here's the money. Then I find out 5, 6, 10 weeks later, well, you know, some of it went to some fat ass flying a jet who's the CEO. I have no idea. I don't know. And I will tell you, when I find out about these different organizations and how they do business, then I, you know, make adjustments as they need be made. Now, we got a great page here that we go to. It's called charitynavigator.org. Before you give money to anybody, before you get conned into giving money, and that includes, with all due respect, the George Clooney, whatever the hell that's going to be, go over to charitynavigator.org, check out the featured charities. This is a great resource. It's a great clearinghouse. and we use it so that we have information on the good charities, the places that are taking the most amount, giving the most amount of money to the intended charity and keeping the least amount of money for their overhead, right? So that's essentially how they do that. They take a look at each charity and say, well, how much of the money that you guys are raising is actually getting to people, and how much of the stuff do you guys keep for operating capital? And those charities that make do with the least amount of money in terms of their overhead and give the most amount effectively are the ones that make it to the top of the list here. Now, here is a list of five charities that CharityNavigator.org recommends when it comes to Haiti. You ready? AmeriCares, CARE, Doctors Without Borders USA. Just understand, Doctors Without Borders USA, not Doctors Without Borders International or Doctors Without Borders Canada, Doctors Without Borders USA. Another group called Feed My Starving Children, and finally, Hope for Haiti's Children's Center. Those five are recommended by CharityNavigator.org. They also have a link that tells you how you can help more. They give you a directory as to other charities, and they also give you an idea as to how they go about qualifying and checking into the backgrounds of these different charities. So that's why we like this page. It's a good one. It's very, very helpful, all right? And getting back to what we were originally talking about, every time something like this happens and someone says, well, we got to get ourselves a telethon, but if I got one telethon, I got 60 of them, man. The only reason why I watch these telethons is because I get to watch what? I get to see, Bon Jovi acoustic. You know, I get to watch Dave Matthews with another groovy set. But that's it, you know. And I find out that the money that they were raising hasn't gotten to where it's supposed to get. That pisses me off. Doesn't it make you angry? Of course. So don't tell me that you're raising money for the green planet, the live planet, the dead planet, the USA for Africa, Asia, Australia, Canada, and everything in between, and you're not telling me how you're getting the money to these people. I want some facts, baby. Just the facts. Like Joe Friday said, huh? So if you're going to have a telethon, and it says here they're going to be having performances in London and England and all of this jazz and 640 million homes and, oh, baby. And the event's going to be streamed live on websites, YouTube, Hulu, MySpace, boom, boom, boom. And you're going to raise all this bread and you're going to take it down to Haiti. And guess where it's going to go? It's going to be sitting on a runway someplace because that's what's going on right now. You're going to raise billions of dollars. Billions of dollars. Where is it going? Wycliffe Jean is going to be involved, and of course Bruce Springsteen, because there isn't one of these things that he ever misses. Proceeds will be split among relief organizations, including the Clinton Bush Haiti Fund. Well, as much as I admire both of those former presidents, I don't see them on the list here on globalnavigator.org, so... The UN World Food Program... Oxfam America, Red Cross, Burp, and UNICEF. Oh, and Wycliffe Jean's Yele Haiti, whatever the hell that thing's called. Not a one of those are on my globalnavigator.org recommended list. So guess what? Now, the Haiti event will be looking to top the $28 million in relief funds raised by Wednesday by mobile phone users in the United States and Canada through text messages, which if they get one half that amount, I'll be shocked to the point of unconsciousness, because if you texted a certain number, you were supposedly going to give $10. Yeah, right, sure. $28 million, they raised $28 million. They got a whole bunch of jokers hitting 90999 just to see if it worked. See, if I sound cynical, it's not because I'm a cynical man. I've been forced into this. I've been forced into it by looking at news reports. Well, all of that stuff is sitting in the desert. What, you mean the money that we raise for USA for Africa? Yeah, it hasn't even gotten to the people. Well, what the hell are we raising all this money for, man? Well, I can't get it. See, we got a lot of stuff, and we got a lot of food, but it's not getting to the people. Well, why the hell not? Well, you don't understand. No, you don't understand, man. If you're going to take my money and you're going to get all these supply, you got to find a way. You know, running a charity and running a resource for people in need, it's more than just standing there with your pearly whites and grinning and saying, would you please give? You got to facilitate the delivery of these goods and these services and this money and whatever else is needed to those people. That's some real hard work. I remember Bob Geldof, who started the Live Aid in the early 80s. Geldof was tearing his hair out, trying to deal with these jackasses in Africa and trying to get this food and these other things to these people. It was impossible because of the corruption and because of these militias and a variety of other just disgusting aspects to life in Africa, right? UN World Food Program, Oxfam. Okay, so those are the charities. And, you know, like I said, I would stick with the GlobalNavigator.org recommendations, which are AmeriCares Care, Doctors Without Borders USA, Feed My Starving Children, and Hope for Haiti Children's Center. Other big telethons that have raised millions, so they say, includes A Tribute to Heroes. Oh, well, that was the one in 2001 after the September 11th attacks on the United States. Shelter from the Storm in 2005 for the victims of Katrina, and A Concert for Hope in 2005 after the Asian tsunami that killed nearly 230,000 people. And I can remember one for Bangladesh, and I think there was another one.
What?
Bangladesh.
What is that?
It used to be a country that people knew about. All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, Conan O'Brien's last show and the White House gatecrashers.
Phil Hendry.